Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program, broadcasting to you live today from the studios of KRLA here in Los Angeles, California. It's a beautiful day out here, and I am thrilled to be here. Going to have a conversation in just a few minutes with one of my great friends out here, Frank Pastore, host of the Frank Pastore Show. We're going to catch up on what's going on the West Coast out here. I want to welcome today WTBN in Tampa. Love the Tampa audience. Glad to be live with you today, and want to invite you to call and join the conversation. The number is 877-893-8255. Appreciate all the folks there in Tampa and elsewhere around the world as right now you're listening to the Albert Mohler Program. We're going to be talking today about a story that I think is going to be really eye-opening. The Romeika family is a German family that is now living in Morristown, Tennessee. They're living there because they fled their native Germany because they were suffering persecution for homeschooling. And their relocation in Morristown, Tennessee is a big story. It's made a whole lot bigger in recent days as a federal immigration judge in Memphis, Tennessee has granted them asylum as homeschoolers, the first case known of its kind, which is likely to set an enormous precedent because, after all, this is a huge case having to do with parental rights, not just homeschooling, but parental rights in general, because if the government has a right to tell you you can't homeschool, it's claiming a right to tell you many other things as well. You'll find my article on this today at albertmohler.com. We're going to get to that topic in just a minute, but Frank, thanks for having us out to Los Angeles.
Albert, it's great to see you out here on the left coast. And, of course, we hear so much about you. It's such a treat to get you on my show. And it's wonderful to be here in Louisville and across the country on the Albert Mohler Show. How are you, buddy?
Listen, you look great. I'm doing great. Thanks. And, Frank, if you're not doing great when you're in sunny Los Angeles after leaving, let's just say, the colder climes of the east and the north, something's wrong with you.
I had the air conditioning on the way to the studio today. Just put it that way.
Okay, just rub it in. There are folks in all parts of the country right now saying that's just too much. But, you know, Frank, one of the things I always appreciate you, I mean, folks know you. They remember you from when you were with the Cincinnati Reds, a pitcher from 1979 to 1985. And yet, you know, I've known you most as an intelligent Christian who's about the task of apologetics in a postmodern world. How in the world do you bridge from, well, pitching to postmodernism? How did that happen?
Well, actually, I was an atheist that grew up in a dysfunctional home, don't we all, and had a sociopathic mother, and thought the path to getting rich and famous was via throwing stuff hard. I was very unathletic. All I could do is throw lemons hard in the lemon groves out here in Southern California. And fortunately, there's a sport where they will pay you to do that. So I set off to the Cincinnati Reds in 1975. I know it's ages ago. And set out to get rich and famous. And I was a sold-out atheist, evolutionist, agnostic, skeptic, would pick on religious people. Of all stripes, I was an equal opportunity skeptic and was forced, get this, Al, I was forced to hang out with the guys on the Cincinnati Reds after I got married because my wife had talked to some people and found out that wives and girlfriends are different people and didn't want her young husband doing things on the road. And so she forced me to hang out and said, you can only hang out with these guys. And it was the Christians. So I learned to shut the Christians up by asking them questions. And most of them didn't know why they believed what they believed. And much like I had done my whole entire life, I just thought it was silly, naive, and gullible. And so that was my position until an event happened in Dodger Stadium off the bat of Steve Sachs, where I took a line drive off of my right elbow. And that led me on the path to where I actually came to a saving knowledge of Christ. It was quite an interesting path. Was given some books to read. Chief among them was C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity, Evidence Demands a Verdict by Josh McDowell, and some other things. But came to realize that there is, and Lee Strobel probably stole my title, there is a case for faith. There is a case for Christ. There is a case for the whole Christian worldview. And I had never been exposed to that. And so I've been all about that since then. Happily married, two kids, and a grand puppy and a grandson. How's that?
Oh, that's fantastic. I mean, who could be thrilled to hearing a story like that? But, you know, Frank, I have to tell you, you're living out here in the place which is the fruit basket of worldviews.
Amen.
And, I mean, not that most of America isn't turning that way, if not that way already, but there's no doubt that when you look to the East Coast in terms of the media, you look to the West Coast in terms of entertainment, the things hit here fastest.
Yep.
So what's hitting here right now? What are the cutting edge things you're having to talk about right now?
Well, of course, the obvious things can we just talk about the big white elephant in the room right now? What's going on with this administration and what I see going on with the Tea Party movement and just average Americans who had not given a hoot about politics or worldview and those kinds of things in the past are starting to wake up and see what's going on with their country and the direction in which we're going. And it's wonderful because it's a wonderful opportunity to tell the Christian story of Western civilization and the American founding.
You know, it is a wonderful story, but I have to tell you, as pleased as I am to see all persons, especially at the grassroots level, get involved in these issues, especially intelligently, I really have to hope that a lot of these folks are going to find some very deep biblical principles
Amen.
To guide them, because energy's not enough,
right.
and populism's not enough. It's got to be guided by principles. And, you know, frankly, that's part of the reason why I'm so glad you're out here on the radio, is because you talk in principles as well. We're trying to help people to think, you know, the way Carl Henry used to describe it, as worldviewishly.
Yes. One of the reasons why, Al, I tried to go do a PhD in American government and political philosophy. I finished all my coursework, then got hired to do this radio show, so I never got a chance to do a dissertation, so I bailed out with a second master's degree. But the reason I did that is because so few evangelicals can tell, quote, let's just call it the American story and an understanding of American government.
And Western civilization, how we got here.
Exactly right. And so it's like picking up a novel at chapter 17, you know, they don't know all the characters, the dynamics, the forces that have been in play to bring us to this place. I mean, how do we get here from there? And I know that story. I try to tell it every day on the air as we address current events from a Christian worldview. But how are things going out here? Well, we get it first. As you know, California is an economic crisis. It's not just Arnold's fault. It's a worldview issue. It's a personal greed issue. It's the same kind of financial dynamic we saw that went down in Wall Street, where it's greed and I want it now. I don't want to save. I don't want to postpone. And it fundamentally, as Chuck Colson always says, economics is always a moral issue.
Well, and as you say, you know, a lot of people in California, they think you're living on a seismic fault line out here. Well, you know, this state is living on an economic and cultural fault line right now that's going to crack far beyond what any tectonic plate can do. Because we're talking here about a state which is really just kind of larger than the rest, that is leveraging its future and, frankly, going to make it very difficult for its children to be able to have a functioning society unless something changes.
Well, let's hope that dynamic can actually be implemented, because, of course, the reality where the rubber hits the road is in Sacramento. You have the Democratic Party having overwhelming control in both the state assembly and in the state senate. That's where laws are passed. Governors are pretty much handcuffed until they can get something through the legislature, much like at the national level. A president cannot enact or spend a nickel unless Congress releases the purse strings. And so until people begin voting differently, things are not going to change.
But I'll tell you, out here in California, the great theological issue I see is that what's being confronted here is the fact that you have living generations who seem absolutely willing to leave those who come behind them less rather than more. And, you know, that's the reversal of the biblical pattern. The biblical pattern had been that every generation seeks to work and to save, to invest, to enlarge, so that the generations coming behind them have more. How is it that we ended up thinking that we could leave less?
Well, the idea of leaving a legacy and an inheritance to your children is something, of course, we're picking up. Our prudent statesmen that we have on the show regularly are counseling all of our listeners, do not be in bondage to the enemy. Don't fall victim to the credit card debt. Spend less than you make. I mean, fundamental core, you know, Ron Blue kind of principles.
Make long-term investments in the future.
Exactly. And in your soul as well, of course, is what we would want to fold into. But I don't want to leave this on a downer because I know time is fleeting. But let me tell you some of the exciting things that are going on in the larger and the medium-sized churches all over Southern California. There is an incredible resurgence of young people getting plugged into the real thing. You know, we hear the buzzwords regularly about we want to be authentic and fit in community and be known, and we don't just want to attend at a warehouse. That's happening. And the larger churches are picking it up, whether it's the Calvary Chapels or Westlake or Francis Chan out in Simi Valley at Cornerstone. And I have all these guys on the show, Albert, and we talk regularly with the pastors of the bigger churches and some of the smaller ones, too, just to find out, okay, so what's going on with the church? Because we're all about the church. And we know when God moves in a community, he does it through the church, not a radio station. So we serve our community out here, and I'm all about that.
And talking about things hitting first on the coast, I mean, after all, the Jesus movement of the 1970s really started over here, and it spread. Youth ministry really was developed here and spread in ways that are recognizable now in churches all over the country and so many other things as well. And it's great to be here on the West Coast, and I'm here to preach at the Shepherd's Conference, Grace Community Church,
great.
My friend Dr. John MacArthur. But I'll tell you, it's a joy to be here today. My friend Frank Pastore, massively influential radio show out here on the West Coast, 4 to 7 Pacific time. Frank, thanks for taking a few minutes to come
Al,
with us.
Al, it's great to see you. You look wonderful, and I only hear wonderful things about your radio show, and your listeners are truly blessed to have a chance to hear you every day.
Proud to be a part of the Salem family with you and to have you as a colleague. We're going to come back to talk about this homeschool story because it's simply huge, folks. It's massive that a federal immigration judge in Memphis, Tennessee, ruled that homeschoolers had grounds for asylum in the United States because of the threat of prosecution and persecution in, guess where? Germany. We'll be right back with more on the Albert Mueller Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. The Romica family is now in Morristown, Tennessee. They moved there from Germany, and the reason they moved is going to be of great interest to you, I think. They moved because they decided to homeschool their children. The story is absolutely fascinating, but it's also eye-opening. It's one of those stories that needs to get our attention because we all, as Christian parents, as Christians, and as intelligent citizens, need to be very alert when rights are at stake. In this case, the right and responsibility of parents, the natural right of parents to parent their own children, to make the most basic decisions about the raising of their children and the education of their children. In this case, the Romicas decided, due to some bad experiences in the government schools there in Germany, bad experiences related to the behavior of some of the children, and also the content of the curriculum, they decided they wanted to find an alternative. Someone in their church mentioned homeschooling. Homeschooling is not the massive movement in most of Europe that it is here. And in Germany, not only is it not a massive movement, it is illegal. Parents are not allowed to homeschool their children. According to German laws, children must be in schools. If not in the government schools, then in private schools. But it has to be a school. There's no allowance whatsoever for children who are not in a recognized and registered school. But the Romicas decided that their Christian responsibility for their five children, now ranging in ages from 2 to 12, was to homeschool them, so they began doing it. And what happened is that first they started getting response from the government with fines, and eventually over $11,000 in fines put against them. And then the children were visited by the police, and a police van actually took them forcibly to school one day. And obviously the stakes are getting higher. The Romicas are becoming more and more determined. By the way, the father, Uwe, is a music teacher. And they decided that they were going to have to make a change. And they met someone from the Homeschool Defense Fund here in the United States. And they ended up moving to Morristown, Tennessee, where another German family had already relocated. I wrote about this today at my website at albertmueller.com. You'll find my article entitled, Where Homeschooling is Outlawed, Asylum. Now, what makes this really interesting is that today, there are major news stories out. The New York Times has a major story out on this family. Also, what really caught my eye in kind of an unusual way is that the February 8th edition, that is, excuse me, the March 8th edition of Time Magazine has a major story on them. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to homeschool. Now, what makes this big news, has the attention of the New York Times and Time Magazine, is not just that this family suffering persecution and what was in all likelihood going to be a challenge to their custodial right to their children, that they moved from Germany to America, but that, in fact, an American immigration judge located in Memphis, Tennessee, has granted them political asylum. Now, folks, that's huge. The grounds for asylum are that the persons must be a part of a group that is suffering persecution, and there must be the very real danger to them because of, quote, principled opposition to governmental policy. And that's exactly what were faced by this particular family. Both of these challenges were faced by them. And because of this, Judge Lawrence O. Berman in Memphis, Tennessee, agreed with the couple, declaring them to be under the threat of persecution in Germany due to their principled opposition to government policy. Now, this is fascinating because it gets to the homeschooling movement. It gets to the entire issue of a parental authority and parental rights for the education of children, the making of the decisions for that education. It gets to homeschooling in America. And remember that what we have here is a couple with their children, and thus a family, moving all the way from Germany to Morristown, Tennessee. So you're talking about someone moving from the heart of Europe to Appalachia in order to have the freedom that they need and know they must have to educate their own children according to their Christian principles. And by the way, the Romaicas identify themselves very clearly as Christians. The New York Times refers to them as, quote, devout Christians, end quote, which I think in the speak of the New York Times means that they're Christians who take Christianity seriously. But I hope you're taking this issue seriously. That's why I wrote about it. I felt an urgency in writing this article today because I think there are a lot of American parents, American Christian parents, who just do not understand what is and could be at stake in this. Now, the story here is huge because in Germany, going as far back as 1717, there were government schools in Prussia. Now, those of you who know your European history know that there wasn't even a unified Germany until the end of the 19th century under Bismarck. And so, nonetheless, Prussia has always been the major main state, the largest, most powerful state in Germany. And it really set the culture for much of the rest of what became the unified nation of Germany. Why did they have state schools or government schools? It was because they wanted children to be raised in a common culture, and they did not want what they call now parallel cultures. Now, see, here's the problem. You use the word culture, let's change it to the word worldview. In other words, the government wanted children to be raised in a certain common worldview. They did not want parallel or alternative worldviews. Well, just consider that we're not now in 1717, either in Germany nor in the United States. We're not even in the 1970s, either in Germany or in the United States. And we have multiple worldviews, and the worldview that is put in place by the schools acting on behalf of the government as an agent of the government are largely secularizing. Now, Christian parents will make different decisions about how they believe their children should be educated. If you've been listening to this program, you know I make three very essential points. The first one is that parents have a non-negotiable responsibility to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, which is to say we're all homeschoolers if we're parents. That doesn't mean formal homeschooling, but at least in terms of the fact that the home is a school, every single Christian home must be a school where the soul and the mind, the spirit of children is taught in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The second thing is that parents may choose different contexts for children. I think there are clear issues here where different parents, based upon different principles, in different locations, for that matter, or even in different times, may make different decisions. For that matter, I know Christian parents who make different decisions for different children, based upon their needs, their abilities, and frankly, the context of the time. And the third issue is the knowledge that we will give an answer as Christians. We know we'll give an answer on that day of judgment for how we raise our children. And that has to do, of course, with the soul-making, which is their education as well. And ideas have consequences. The ideas that we allow to be inculcated in our children are going to bear fruit in their lives. And that's why a lot of people have taken homeschooling as an option. Now, in my article today, I make the point that in America, homeschooling didn't just begin among conservatives, not even just among conservative Christians. There were also liberals involved in homeschooling because of a mutual dissatisfaction with available models. And let's be very, very thankful that here in the United States, homeschooling has become such a large movement that, quite frankly, politically, it's very hard to imagine that it can be stopped in its tracks. But nonetheless, there are efforts being made. Let's face it, there are those who do not like the fact that parents have all these rights, whether the choices might be a Christian school or a private school or a public school or, for that matter, homeschooling. We're going to be talking about this today on the Albert Mueller Program. I'd like to know how you're thinking this through. I'd like to know what you think about this, because when it comes to homeschooling, it's not just a matter of now a legal issue before an immigration judge in Memphis. It's a matter of this particular couple with their five children moving to the United States because they have felt the urgency of what it means to take responsibility to teach their children. Their choice, their principled choice based upon Christian conviction, was to homeschool their children. And the state, that is the government of Germany, said no, and they left. We're going to come back and talk about kind of a mixed picture going on in Europe on this, but I'm more interested even than that in what you're thinking. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. I'll cut to the quick and tell you what I'm thinking. I'm thinking this is a wake-up call for Christian parents to be aware of the fact that there are others who have very different intentions for your children, not only in Germany, but elsewhere. And when it comes to education, we're not just talking about a process of imparting information. We're talking about a way of forming the souls and the minds of our own children. There's a lot at stake. The number is 877-893-8255, and we'll be right back with your calls on the Albert Mueller Program.
Listening to the Albert Mueller Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmueller.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mueller.
Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. We are live today from Los Angeles, the studios of KRLA, and we're talking about homeschooling. A remarkable story, the fact that the New York Times and Time Magazine both zeroed in on this on the same day, the same 24-hour period, tells you something. And the spark for this was a decision by a federal immigration judge in Memphis, Tennessee, to grant the Romica family, now of Morristown, Tennessee, formerly of Germany, asylum in the United States because of the threat of prosecution or persecution because they are homeschooling. This leads to, I think, the whole question of whether Americans really have taken into account, American Christians in particular, what it means to take this responsibility seriously of exercising the right and responsibility of parents to choose the education of their children in a way that that fits their own convictions. In this case, so the Romica family, very clear Christian convictions. This is an issue that I think requires our vigilance and certainly our intelligent conversation. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Let's go to Louisville, Kentucky, where Chad's listening on WFIA. What are you thinking, Chad?
Hi, Dr. Mueller. We homeschool our children, and I think as responsible parents, Christian parents, that we need to be vigilant in knowing what our local representatives as far as elected officials are up to. In our local area, we have, the restrictions are going to be placed more and more if we don't watch out. We have a local official that's wanting to put absurd restrictions on homeschool families, such as the health department required to come in, what hours of operation, the qualifications of the parents, all in order to homeschool even the public or to private school your children. So I think we need to be aware of what our local elected officials are up to.
You know, I think that's a good point, Chad. And, you know, when it comes to thinking some of these issues through, there are a couple of things that come to my mind. One is, I am very thankful, and I've said this over and over again, I'm very thankful. In fact, I see it as just attributable to the providence of God that the homeschooling movement in America grew so large so fast, because I fear that forces that would not want this to take place, had they had time to organize, might have done some real mischief. But as it is, in virtually all 50 states, and even in a state like California, where I'm doing the program from today, you may remember in the last 24 months there have been efforts in the courts and the legislatures here to restrict homeschooling, in particular to require certain qualifications of anyone who would teach. And the State Board of Education, I believe, actually is the one that handed that down. And that was just nullified because it was impossible to conduct nor to require, and was so outlandish that it even in California, it never saw the light of day. But it's just a reminder that you're right, Chad. We have to be vigilant on this because there are folks who would like to see the children educated just like in Germany. And I appreciate the fact that the German officials are at least honest about it. They want their children raised in a common world view. Well, if you imagine what that is, you can see why the Romica family had problems. Thanks for calling, Chad. Let's go to Mandan calling from Tampa, Florida. Great to hear from you there in Tampa. Mandan, go ahead.
Yes, sir. First of all, thanks for taking my call, and I'll be brief. Yes, I think the parents' right to homeschool their children is a valid right and valid point. However, One must be very careful to take in consideration the things that will be lost to the child when they don't have the opportunity to learn socialization skills with other children their age and age groups. And these are lifelong lessons that they can learn at an early age. So to maybe homeschool the kids up to a certain point, but eventually introduce them into the larger community where they can pick up the valuable socialization skills that will be with them throughout their life.
Man, and very, very good point. Now, I think there are a lot of homeschoolers out there who are going to say, that's not a real issue. But I want to tell you, as one who's both a homeschooling parent and an educator and a college and seminary president, it is an issue. But it's not just an issue for homeschooling parents. That's where I think, you know, it's easy to say that the public schools, for instance, or a formal school situation is the optimal context in which to socialize a child, to have them learn those social skills. I don't think that's necessary. But, Mandon, you raise a very legitimate point. We do not want our children, as Christians, we do not want to raise our children so that they do not know how to negotiate as responsible adult Christians in the world. But I'm going to argue again and again that parents are the ones who bear that responsibility. Man, and I want to affirm, you did affirm that, to know how that ought to be done. And I'm going to argue for homeschoolers, it doesn't have to be in a school. You know, I would hope, for instance, that children are very engaged in whether it's sports teams or other volunteer activities in the community, that they're involved in their neighborhood, that Christian parents are teaching their children the right kind of social skills in the right kind of social context to make a difference for Christ. And that's not just socialization for socialization's sake. That's socialization with a great commission motivation. A phone number to join the conversation is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. Coast to coast and with listeners around the world, you're listening to the Albert Mueller Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mueller family, Albert Mueller program, the Romica family, that is, I was getting ready to talk about, has moved from Germany to Morristown, Tennessee because they're homeschoolers and the family was under persecution and the threat even of the removal of their children from the home if they did not indeed send their children to the government schools there in Germany. Instead, they fled Germany. And as you read their story, and it's written up in today's issue of the New York Times, also next week's edition of Time Magazine, which is already on the newsstands, I believe, even today. It's marked March the 8th, but you'll find the story there in the newsstand edition. It has to do with this family's decision to leave Germany and come to the United States, and also the news that was made when a federal immigration judge in Memphis, Tennessee, gave them political asylum because of their status as homeschoolers. That's big news, and it has to do with the fact that homeschooling is not just about education. It's about Christian conviction in this case, or the freedom of religion. It's about parental rights and responsibility, and it's about the importance of education, after all, in the formation of the young. It is not for nothing that the government schools in Germany are the means whereby children are made into Germans. And, you know, frankly, a lot of Americans are unaware of the fact that John Dewey, one of the most formative people in the structure of the American public schools in the 20th century, had a very similar agenda. Very concerned about all these immigrant children coming from all these different countries, raised by their parents with different prejudices and ideas and convictions. John Dewey and others wanted a common school where there could be children raised in a common culture. And that's not all bad in the sense that we do want children to understand they're a part of a nation, they're a part of a people, part of a grand social experiment in democracy. But when it comes to worldview, well, there's the problem. Because if you're going to force everyone into one worldview, someone's going to have to decide what that worldview is. And in a secular school system, that's going to be a secular worldview. And that's going to have major problems for a lot of folks, especially for Christian parents. The phone number is 877-893-8255. Let's go to Glenn calling from Macomb, Illinois, listening on WPEO. Go ahead, Glenn.
My name is Glenn Ensinger, and all three of my children were homeschooled. They're adults now, I think 32, 30, and 26. And I just wanted to say that socialization isn't generally an issue. We lived in a community where there was a big homeschooling program. Actually, in Peoria, Illinois, they have what they call Apache. But they also just, there's a lot of things, a lot of activities in the church. And so we never saw that as a big issue.
I appreciate your call, Glenn. I think I have to say, as one who is a stalwart defender of homeschooling, and for that matter, with my wife also involved in homeschooling our own children, at least for portions, large portions of their education, I have to say, I think it can be an issue, and parents have to take real determination that it not be an issue. But the fact is that children are born socializing little creatures. God made them that way. We just need to help them to learn how to do it most appropriately. And that's a responsibility of parents, regardless of the educational issue, because, quite frankly, children can be socialized in some other contexts in all the wrong ways, which we wouldn't want either. So, legitimate issue, and it's one that the careful Christian parent is going to be very careful to exercise in terms of a good stewardship, because we want our children not only to know the right things, but to be able to relate to people in the right way. Let's go to Israel, listening in Louisville, listening on WFIA. Go ahead, Israel.
Hello, Dr. Mueller. Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for the work you do. I just wanted to share a quick story of most of my extended family lives in Germany, and I was able to visit them last year. And one of my cousins over there is actually a teacher herself. And the question came up about homeschooling, and I thought it was interesting that she asked me why it was even an issue in the first place, and what she meant by that was, why would you even ever want to homeschool? You know, like the whole thing was totally foreign to her, and I thought that was kind of interesting. And,
well, it is.
That, I don't really have any family over there that has their, or any of my cousins that are my age, don't have any of their own children, so I think that obviously affects their perspective as well.
You know, that last point, Israel, is very, very important. You know, one of the major distinctions you have in any population, and it shows up in American voting patterns, one of the clearest determinations as to how someone will vote is whether or not they have children in the home. And the fact is that when folks have children in the home, they are far more conservative. They're far more likely to vote for a conservative candidate, far more likely to uphold and articulate conservative principles. And I think the reason for that is extremely clear. When you have the stewardship of these young lives, you tend to think of what you must conserve in order that they will have the kind of principles, know the kinds of truths you want them to know, and honor the right things. I think there's a deep conservatism that runs just with the gift of children. And by the way, that's one of the reasons why, as you look to generational cohorts, you see that when people get married and have children, there's a far more conservative cast to the generation at that point than before. Thanks for the call, Israel. Let's go to Fritz, calling from Louisville, Kentucky, also listening on WFIA. Go ahead, Fritz.
Oh, good, Dr. Moore. I'll take just a slightly different slant on the socialization question. Your two callers ago, he was talking about the problem with socialization for homeschoolers, and I think it comes down to the different. I think it's actually the opposite problem. I think homeschoolers generally do not have a problem with socialization, primarily because homeschools tend to be age integrated, whereas public schools and other forms of school tend to be age segregated. And I think the socialization is actually enabled by children interacting with not only older children but adults more frequently, whereas with the age segregation, all they're interacting with is their peers, which tends to retard social skills because they're not really being exposed to anything more than what they already know.
Okay, I appreciate the point, Fritz. Let me just suggest that there's truth, of course, in what you just said. But I'll tell you, the biggest issue I see as a defender and proponent of homeschooling and a stalwart and ardent one, I'll tell you that the biggest issue I see is the challenge of some homeschool parents to help their children know how to engage people with whom they will not agree. And that is a difficult thing, because the strength of homeschooling is the parents have the opportunity to raise their children in a very specific convictional worldview. And I see that not only as a right, but more than that, as a God-granted responsibility and authority. But the other side of that, the flip side of that question, is that you really have to work at helping your children know when they get onto the larger world, which they will, whether it's on a college campus or eventually out in the workplace or just in the commonplace of the society in the public square, there's going to be some necessity to make a case, to make an argument. You want them to make the right argument. You want them to hold their ground. But we need people who know how to do that well. And I can just tell you, as an educator, in a Christian college, when we have kids coming in, freshmen and sophomores, especially freshmen, we can often see those who for the first time are having to make some arguments and kind of take their ground. As a parent, I'd want to, and as an educator, I'd want to encourage that to happen a little earlier. And again, you don't have to take it some other option. Homeschooling and homeschoolers can accomplish this, but it does take some intentionality. I will say that the other side of that is that in large school situations, often the socialization isn't the right kind of socialization, and that's another Christian concern. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Albert Mueller Program. The story of the Romeika family moving from Germany to Morristown, Tennessee is not only moving, it's important. And there are stories that are one, but not necessarily the other. There are stories that are important that don't have that kind of narrative pull to them that just make you really pay attention. And then there are other stories that are interesting, but at the end of the day, they don't turn out to be that important. Let me tell you why this one is important. It's important because it gets to some basic issues of the right and responsibility and authority of parents to determine the educational choices for their children. And let me just underline what I think is the most important point here. Christian parents have a non-delegatable, non-franchisable responsibility to educate our own children. That doesn't mean that all Christian parents will choose the same way to do that. There are Christian parents who make decisions to put their children in the public schools, some to put their children in private schools, some in Christian schools, and some to homeschool. And now this whole assortment of everything from classical schools and consortium schools and home education and homeschooling coeducational projects and all the rest, that's all out there. But the reality is that the parents' responsibility is to make sure that children are taught the right things, not merely that they are educated. Far too many Christian parents are just satisfied if their children go through a basic educational curriculum, you know, math, reading, science, biology, you name it, and so long as they get passable grades, everything's all right. The most important education is the education of the heart, the education of the soul, and that's just a reminder to us that all education comes bound with moral and worldview issues. There's no such thing as a neutral education. Every education is inculcating a worldview, and it's the Christian parent's responsibility to make certain that the right worldview is inculcated. But that's the first part of this. That's why the story is important. That's why it's important to know that homeschooling is not legal in some places, and why. And that's not just so that we can be thankful that homeschooling is indeed legal in the United States, but so that we can understand why vigilance on that issue is very important. But the story is moving. And I'll tell you, it's moving because here is a family that was determined to do something very costly because of their convictions. This family sold the father's prized possession, which was a Steinway grand piano that he used to teach music. They left their home, they left their country, they left their kin, and they brought their five children, aged 2 to 12, to the United States of America, leaving Germany, moving to Morristown, Tennessee, from the nation of the Alps to the area of the Appalachians, in order there to raise their children in the way that they knew was right. That's their determination based on their Christian convictions. And that means if you're a Christian listening to that story, in a very real sense, that story is a part of your story and of our responsibility to teach our children well. We'll be back tomorrow from here in Southern California. We'll be talking to you on the Albert Mueller Program. I'll meet you then.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmoeller.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmoeller.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mueller Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.